Hello, this is Pastor Ryan Clark. You are listening to a message from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota.
O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall declare your praises in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, the other day, during time I would certainly consider well spent, I was on the internet and I stumbled across a quiz that was called the What Animal Am I? Quiz. Now, apparently through answering a couple of simple questions like, what's your favorite ice cream flavor and what time do you normally wake up on Saturdays, this quiz could tell you your animal identity. It could tell you what animal you are the most like. So, of course, I decided to take this quiz, and according to it, my animal identity is, drumroll please, the skunk. Now, I found that to be a little offensive. Frankly, this result didn't smell quite right to me. Honestly, I'm not sure what my love for Moose Tracks ice cream has to do with having skunk-like qualities, so I decided to take the quiz again. You can do that. Changed around a couple of answers, and it turns out my new animal identity was the dolphin. Now, despite the fact that I can hardly swim a stroke, this particular animal identity just made more sense to me, especially considering the dolphin-like characteristics that were described in this quiz that I, too, see at times in my life. It described the dolphin as being highly intelligent, empathetic, not pathetic, mind you, empathetic, as energetic, as caring, as possessing low hand-eye coordination, which makes them bad at manual labor, and as having a thin layer of blubber that gets more noticeable as they all traits that I have seen in part in my life. Now, the other day in time, I would also certainly consider well spent. Around the same time I actually took this quiz, I began to put together my Palm Sunday sermon, the very sermon you see me preaching right now. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but according to my research, there is a certain animal that plays a pretty central role in the Palm Sunday story, and that would be the donkey that Jesus rode into town on that original Palm Sunday. Well, out of curiosity, I looked back at that animal identity quiz to see what percentage of people got the donkey as their result. And it turns out you couldn't even get the donkey. It wasn't even an option. You could get things like the skunk or the bat, but not the donkey. The largest percentage of people were very noble creatures, things like the eagle or the lion. A large percentage of people were also domestic animals. There were a lot of dogs in this result, and there were certainly a lot of cats. But the donkey wasn't even an option. And I began to think to myself, why would that possibly be? The conclusion I came to is that it's just too offensive to have the donkey as an option. Donkeys have such a negative reputation in our society today. They're known as stubborn and unintelligent, maybe lazy, which is kind of a shame because there have been a lot of great donkeys throughout our history. Perhaps none more so than the very donkey in our Palm Sunday story today. In fact, I would go as far to say that based on that day that that donkey had alone, if you were to take an animal identity quiz and get the donkey as your result, that would be quite the compliment. You say, Pastor Ryan, I'm not quite buying this one. Well, hopefully you will after this sermon today, because what we are going to do is simply this. We are going to look at three ways that you should be more like that donkey that Jesus rode into town on Palm Sunday. Let's dig into this donkey tale right now. It begins at Matthew 21:1 with these words. As they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go to the village ahead of you. At once you will find a donkey tied there with her colt by her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that the Lord needs them, and he will send them away." And so they ultimately get that donkey to Jesus, and he begins to ride in to Jerusalem. And he is in Jerusalem for a purpose, for many purposes, actually. But one of those purposes is that it is the Passover. And the Passover is one of three major Jewish festivals that all Jews were supposed to go to Jerusalem for. So this town of Jerusalem would have swelled from maybe 50,000 people or so to 250,000 for this particular festival. It'd be like if Buffalo suddenly had 50, 60,000 extra people hanging out for the week or two. This would have been quite the crowd to welcome Jesus into town, who comes into town in style. He is riding that donkey. And the truth is, Jesus must ride a donkey into Jerusalem. He has to fulfill all kinds of Old Testament prophecy about who this Jewish Messiah and king was going to be. He has to fulfill the words of Zechariah 9:9, which are quoted in our gospel lesson today in Matthew 21:4 and 5. It says, "Say to daughter Zion, see, your king comes to you, gentle, and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the foal of a donkey." And Jesus absolutely fulfills these words. It points to the fact that he is this Jewish Messiah and king. Now, for this momentous occasion, why did God choose a donkey? That prophecy could have been some other animal, right? Wouldn't maybe, like Paul said earlier, a horse and chariot be more appropriate for this momentous occasion? Wouldn't it point to God's majesty, his power, his might? Well, it all has to do with symbolism, right? And symbolism changes over the years. In the Old Testament, in Bible times, the horse was a symbol of war. When a king came riding into town on a horse, he was there for war, which is not what Jesus was there to do. The donkey, on the other hand, during Bible times, was actually a symbol of peace. And in some way, shape, or form, what Jesus is ultimately about to accomplish in Jerusalem is going to bring peace. You don't have to take my word for it. It's what the Bible says. Right after that prophecy in Zechariah 9:9 about this Jewish king Messiah coming into town on a donkey, it says what he's there to accomplish. It says, "I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth." And so ultimately, not immediately, but ultimately what Jesus is about to do is going to bring an end to all war. It's going to bring peace to the entire world. It says there's going to be no more need for the war horse or the chariot. No more need for the battle bow. He's going to bring peace to all the nations, and that's going to be for the entire world. And that donkey that Jesus is riding, that symbolizes what he is there in parts to accomplish. And that's actually way number one, that we should be like that donkey that Jesus rode. We should be someone who signifies and brings peace. We actually tell you to do this basically every Sunday here, don't we? What's the last thing that Pastor Clark is going to say to you? He's going to say, "Go in peace and serve the Lord." That's a peace that you have within because of what Jesus did for you that you then share with those around you. You are to be that donkey to the people around you, and yet so often that's not our animal identity at all, is it? We're the crocodile. We're the bear. Don't get too close to her. You know she's about to snap. Oh, don't go around him. You know he can be quite a bear in the office on Mondays. We're called to be that donkey. You say, "Well, Pastor Ryan, I'd be a more peaceable person if other people weren't so fill in the blank. If they weren't so brainless, if they weren't so foolish, if they weren't so hurtful, if they weren't so mean." Well, I hear you, but let me tell you this. The Bible doesn't make any qualifiers about us bringing peace to those around us. Romans 12:18 doesn't say, "If it is possible, as far as depends on you, live at peace with everyone, unless they're brainless, unless they're foolish or hurtful, then, my friends, you can do whatever you want." No. There is no qualifier. It simply says, if it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. You say, "Pastor Ryan, I try to live at peace with everyone, but there's maybe a certain someone in my life that no matter how hard I try, I just can't create peace in that situation." And that's true. There are going to be people like that out there. That's why it says, as far as it depends on you. There are going to be people who no matter how hard you try, you're not going to make peace with. You could love on them, forgive them, but they're going to pick out something in your words, something in your actions to be offended by. But let me tell you something. That is the exception and not the rule. In fact, I would go as far to say that 9 times out of 10, if you follow these 3 simple tips, you will be bringing peace to a situation where perhaps there is none. You want to make peace? First, you got to make sure to spend time with God and in His Word. He is the source of all peace. If you're not spending time around the source, how could you possibly bring peace to a situation? It's not something you possess naturally yourself. Spend time around the Prince of Peace, and you will be more likely to bring peace to a situation. You want to make peace? You also got to make sure to forgive. When people aren't at peace with each other, at least one person isn't being forgiven. Oftentimes, both people aren't being forgiven. If it's just you that's not being forgiving, it's pretty easy for you to bring peace to that situation by simply forgiving as Jesus forgave you. And so often, if it's both people that need to forgive, if you just take a step out in faith and follow Jesus' command to do that, the other person will follow suit. That is just what happens. And finally, if you want to make peace, make sure to be humble and remember that you're not perfect. There have been people that have had to make peace with you. Think about it. I'm sure if you think hard enough, you can think of some people that have taken the step out in faith, have forgiven you, and made peace. And if you can't think of anyone, well, then you best go all the way back to the cross, because God had to make peace with you. That's what that cross is all about. Your sins had caused unrest between you and God, but God takes the step and God forgives you and makes peace with you. Like I said, that's what that cross is all about. And that donkey is taking Jesus directly to the cross. That is what he is doing. And actually, that's way number 2. We should be like Jesus's donkey. We should be people that lead others a step closer to the cross. Perhaps you know the whole passion story, right? You know that crowd that was there for Jesus in Jerusalem that day, they wanted his animal identity to be that horse. They wanted him to declare war on the Romans, to take them out. And when they realize that's not what Jesus' animal identity was, they turn on him pretty quickly, don't they? Over the course of 5 days, over the course of 6 chapters, they go from chanting, "Hosanna, Hosanna, save us, save us," to "Crucify him, crucify him." And that's exactly what they do, right? That crowd that Jesus encountered that day are some of the same people that put him up on the cross. Despite the fact that Jesus lived a perfect life, despite the fact that he was there to save them from something far, far more sinister, far worse than the Romans, they put him on the cross anyways. And of course, in that cross, Jesus' true animal identity is revealed, isn't it? He is the Lamb of God that came to take away the sins of the world. And that's exactly what he does. He pays the price for your sin. He pays the price for my sins. He pays the price for the sins of the world. The Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. That's what that cross is all about. That cross is for everyone, by the way. That sacrifice is for everyone. And we are to be people who lead people a step closer to the cross as Jesus's donkey did. And I know that evangelism, telling other people about the gospel, that can be tough at times. But once again, kind of a list of 3 guy here. I've got 3 tips for you that might help you share the good news with others. First, if you want to lead people to the cross in Jesus, you best be spending time there yourself. You need to be experiencing Jesus' mercies anew every day. His mercy, his grace, his love, his forgiveness. A wise man once said to me, "You can only take people where you have been yourself." That wise man's actually sitting right here. It's Pastor Clark. And what he meant by that was, Pastor Ryan, if you want to lead people into a deeper relationship with Jesus, you better have a deep relationship with him yourself. You can only take people where you have been yourself. If you want to lead other people into a relationship with Jesus, you need to be spending time at the cross yourself. Second, you can lead people to the cross in Jesus by representing him well. I know I'm kind of a broken record up here sometimes, but when people look at you, they're going to make judgments about who Jesus is. 2 Corinthians 5:20 says, "We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as if though he were making his plea directly through us." Represent him well. And third, we can lead people to the cross in Jesus by knowing the answer to this question: how is my life different because I know Jesus? Think about it for a second. How is your life different because you know Jesus? You should know the answer to that question. Perhaps there's some kind of peace that you experience that other people don't, or love, or a relationship you get that the rest of the people who are non-believers don't get. Know the answer to that question. That provides quite a powerful testimony to others and certainly can lead them to the cross. So that's two ways we should be like Jesus' donkey. We should be someone who signifies and brings peace. We should lead people a step closer to the cross. And finally, we should be excited to serve our master. Like I said earlier, I know donkeys have kind of a bad reputation, a bad rep. They're known as stubborn, unintelligent, and lazy. But the truth is, if a donkey is treated well by its master, oftentimes it is very submissive and actually excited to serve their master. And you don't have to take my word for it. Once again, I actually have a little video here that shows off just that.
Oh, everybody's coming.
I actually really like that video, and it's not what you'd particularly expect from a donkey, right? That donkey's master calls its name, and it came running like a dog to the front door. Its tail was even wagging. It was that excited to be around its master and to potentially serve this young lady. We are called to be like that donkey. Like I said, when a donkey is treated well, oftentimes it's excited to serve its master. And you have been treated oh so well by your master, Jesus Christ. And yet so often when it comes to our service, that's not our animal identity at all. It's something else. Maybe it's the sloth. Oftentimes, it's the pig. When it comes to our relationship with Jesus, we just consume and consume and consume. But we're called to be that. And if you're having trouble getting excited to serve Jesus, I don't need a list of three to help you with that. I've got just one thing, and it's my very important point for the day. Remember what Jesus has done for you each and every day. Think about what he went through on that cross for you, the nails through his hands, the nails through his feet, the torture, and that it was just for you. And if that doesn't get you excited to serve him, I don't know what will. This, I almost guarantee, will get you more excited to serve. And beyond that, when you remember Jesus' love, you'll also want to live out his other commands. Commands like being people that bring peace to those around you. Commands like sharing the cross, the good news, with those around you. And oh yeah, you will absolutely be excited to serve. And so, St. John's family, my prayer for you this week is this. May you look back on your week and say, wow, that was certainly time well spent. May you be like Jesus' donkey. And by the way, if that hasn't been your animal identity, if you have been that skunk, if you've been offensive to those around you, it's certainly not too late to change around a couple of your actions and have an entirely different animal identity. May you be that donkey to those around you. May you do this Holy Week in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to a sermon from St. John's Lutheran Church in Buffalo, Minnesota. If you would like more information about St. John's and any of our ministries to our community and beyond, you can go to our website, www.stjohnsbuffalo.org. Thank you, and God bless you.